You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in the beautiful city of Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere on God's magnificent planet.
That's right. On 1510wwbc.com, you can hit that listen live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, there we also archive the shows. We've been on the air for a little over 15 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get any one of the shows downloaded from there by date. You just click on the date and it goes right to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Of course, we share all of that information, the download as well as pictures and the information from our guests on our website as well as all of the social media.
That's right. For listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, Ellen O'Neill is my co-host. She's been with me for 15 years. I think we're going on 16 years now, right?
Pretty close, yep.
Something like that.
Ready to
Danny
that
Whiting
corner.
Runs our board, and Allie Tamber is here with us. She is a good friend of the show and comes here to cheer us on. And I guess it gives Allie something to do on Mondays.
It does. It gets me out of the house for certain.
It breaks things up for you,
yeah.
which is nice. I'm glad that we're able to do that.
Yes. Well, you're entertaining, too. So.
So on Mondays, we sit here from 1 to 2, and we heat up the airwaves with discussions, and we chat. We chat with our guests who are calling in sometimes from India, Indonesia, Spain, Canada, here in the United States. We talk to people here in Brevard County, Florida, in the state of Florida, in the United States, about things that are going on, issues that affect everyday working people and human beings on God's magnificent planet. And so today is no different, whether you want to talk about financial literacy or you want to talk about buying a home. Some people want to talk about the environment. Some folks want to write a book. Some want to read a book. Some folks want to run for office. We encourage people to vote. We encourage people to listen to our sheriff here in Brevard when he comes on. We have him on sometimes. It's like when you live in Brevard County, Florida, we know we live in a gem. This is a hidden gem in the state of Florida and the United States. I feel safe, and I like to give back in the form of community radio. It's good to have a voice and use it in a very responsible manner. Right?
Absolutely. And I tell you what, the sheriff has done a great job on 95. They had that new task force that came out. There were, I think, 7 or 10 fatalities within a 48-hour period.
Well, you know, in Trinidad, they call that a bad drive. Sometimes I had a bad drive a couple days ago where at the stop sign on Lake Washington, a four-way stop sign, and you would think everybody who gets to that sign would notice who got their first, second, third, fourth. Well, I got there first, but Mr. Second or Third decided to go and almost crashed right into my car. Mm. So I was like, I'm going to call and report that. But anyways,
yeah.
So we've got a really action-packed show today. I have a wonderful friend, Mr. Sean Ferguson, who is the senior pastor of Faith Temple Christian Center right here in Rockledge, Florida, where he has faithfully served for more than 24 years. And he is also a city council member in Rockledge, Florida. And he's decided to throw his hat in the ring for the mayor of Rockledge. And I figured I'll just invite him to come to the show because he's a mutual friend. Mr. David Jackson told me he was running. And I decided to invite him and just chat a little bit about why people run for office. What is the reasoning behind it? And how does it feel to be part of a community that's thriving and you want to see do better? So that's our first segment. Our second segment, my friend Karen Wade. Karen and I met a long time ago through politicking, of course. She's like me, fiscally responsible and socially compassionate. And she is an intuitive energy coach and a healer. She's also an engineer, and she will be talking to us later about what she does for sustainability, saving the planet, and all that good stuff. And I think it's a great show. So, yeah. So, Mr. Ferguson, you look great. Thank you so much for being a part of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And bring us up to speed since the last time you were on our show.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you so much, Sita and Ellen and Allie. Great to see you ladies once again. It's such an honor to be here. Last time I was here, Sita, it was 2019. I was running for my second term with the Rockledge City Council. And thank you for your support and your help through that process. And, of course, obviously, I won that. Now I just was sworn in the month of November at the City Council for my fourth term. So I'm going into my 10th year as of this year. So yeah. I'm excited. It's been great to give back to our community, to serve our community. But believe it or not, Sita, this is a place where I was born and raised. I was born right there at Rockledge, that Wusthof Hospital. Of course, we know it's coming down now, unfortunately, and that's been a challenge. But we are excited about our community and how well we're doing in the city of Rockledge.
Yeah, and a lot of us have watched Rockledge thrive. I remember when we had the new Barton Boulevard was extended.
Yes, absolutely.
We had a clinic there on US 1. My husband we owned the Sinai Walk-in Clinic there for about 15 years. And
tremendous.
And we had so many wonderful patients from Rockledge, people from the hospital as well.
Absolutely.
The school board and all that. And it warmed my heart to see the development in the city. And then you were elected.
Yes.
And we have a lot of friends on the city council.
Oh, absolutely.
So right now there's someone who's retiring.
Yes, Tom Price.
And
current mayor.
And before someone else jumps in the race, I suppose, with the experience you have to lead, you decided that I'm going to do this.
Yeah, I mean, this is a place where I'm invested. Again, I've been here my whole life, with the exception of my years in college and travel with the government for a while. Came back in the early 90s to assist my family in running a family-owned business, which we own for well over probably 25-plus years. And, of course, along with pastoring, so my parents were running a family-owned business at the same time, pastoring at the same time. And the church is celebrating, believe it or not, this weekend, 40 years. The church was founded by Mom and Dad, right, 40 years ago in the city of Rockledge. Dad was retired NASA. Mom's retired school teacher, been in Brevard County, you know, again, all of their
Talk
lives.
Talk about giving back.
Right. And so this weekend, we're excited about it. But the past 25 years to be senior pastor in our community, it's been tremendous and so refreshing and warming just to see the number of people that lives are changed simply because of the opportunity. As you mentioned in the beginning of this, that church is about building community. And it's been great to build a community in our local church, man, and just see the number of people flourish and prosper and do well and get married, have children, start their own businesses.
Well, and it's about guidance, right?
Absolutely.
I think, you know, General Colin Powell, before he passed away from the planet, I remember one of the things that he said was that, you know, every human being needs guidance.
Absolutely.
And I add to that, from the womb to the tomb.
There you go. I agree with that.
Right?
Totally.
And so, you know, in order to run for mayor, you know, when I was little, my father would talk about people working. And every time you open the newspaper, you would see it says experience required. And I would say, well, how do they expect you to have the experience if they don't hire you? But in your case, experience does matter.
Oh, absolutely.
So talk to our listening audience here, Mr. Sean Ferguson, a little bit about the experience you have to lead the city.
Well, again, 25 years in pastoring is huge.
Right.
You know, of course, obviously, not only supervising, but overseeing projects. And our church has been really unique over the years because it's just not been a local church. We've always been community-focused and centered. We've run grant programs to help young people, abstinence programs to help young people, diversion programs to help young people. We've always been involved in community. So that's been a great, obviously, trainer and teacher for me and the opportunities I've had to, you know, oversee budgets and oversee directors and various things. And now to be involved with the city of Rockledge as a councilman has been absolutely tremendous. So he's given me the experience. And I'm not just, you know, showing up at meetings. You know, we're involved in community as council persons as well. You know, one of the leading responsibilities I've had over these past 10 years is actually going to Tallahassee. Tallahassee has been just on my radar the past 10 years. So every year I'm there two or three times a year working and legislating, you know, really advocating.
It feels good to be there, doesn't it?
Oh, man. The first
walking through the halls in Tallahassee, I was there quite a few times, and I just felt like I belonged. And I was like, if I wasn't married, I would probably get an apartment over there and stay there. Because I love the idea that if God gives you a gift and a talent and an ability to use it and find purpose in life, that we should.
Absolutely.
Right?
This is a true story. I've now went to Tallahassee, of course, as a young person, traveling and going to see the opportunities to see how it works as a kid. But as an adult, when I joined city council my first year, I'm in Tallahassee. I literally stood at the front of the Capitol. Because I said to myself, I felt the same way. Yeah. I belong here. This is what I'm supposed to be doing.
And those of us who know about the civil rights struggle.
Absolutely.
And how people got the right to vote.
Absolutely.
And how many people were denied the right to vote. And to know that you could put your feet on that ground. It's like sacred ground to me.
To me it is. You know, I've also had the opportunity to go and open up session for the Senate and the House of Representatives with prayer. And to be able to pray with those legislators have been so rewarding. And so refreshing at the same time to be welcomed in that space, right, to open up with a time of prayer before any other business is conducted has been absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, and you know, oftentimes when you go to a body like that, a legislative body like that, and there are Republicans and Democrats, right. I see them as humans.
Absolutely.
I don't really see people as a R or a D or an I. And I know when I went there, we had gone to, you know, to talk about healthcare for citizens here in Florida, Obamacare, or the ACA back then. And Governor Rick Scott was the governor back then.
Okay.
And I wanted to say hello. Well, I didn't know you have an appointment. So I go right up to the office and I say to the security guard, I want to say hi to the governor. And he says, ma'am, you just can't do, you can't barge in. And I'm wearing a big Obama on my shirt. So I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize I had to make an appointment. I was just here and I wanted to say hi. And I said, I heard that his Lieutenant Governor Jennifer Carroll is a Trinidadian like myself. And he's like, yeah, she is. So all of a sudden I hear somebody says, where's the Trinidadian? And I look around and it was Governor Rick Scott.
Oh, oh my gosh.
Wow.
He
came out to say hi.
That's
somebody
awesome.
Went to say something and he came out and he shook my hand and we chatted for a little bit, and he looked at my Obama thing. It didn't bother him. He was kind. He was nice. I told him why I was there, because I believed in healthcare for all. And he was really kind, sweet. And then I said, well, I heard Jennifer Carroll is your lieutenant governor, and she's a trainee. I said, have you eaten doubles and roti yet? And he said, yeah, I have.
That's
how I became friends with Jennifer Carroll as well, through that visit. But
it's always food.
Food.
Roti, yeah. Curry chicken.
And I
see,
think
I'm
it was
you.
Attitude.
Great bread.
And I
It'll
think
do it every
and
time,
I,
right?
And I think a lot in life is attitude. If you go in there with a positive attitude, he was the governor for the state of Florida, and there were a lot of Democrats there, friends of mine, other who were, you know, carrying placards and posters and things with words that I didn't agree with, but I mean, you don't go to a senator's office or a governor's office or anybody with the intent to be rude.
Absolutely.
That person was elected. Whether you like it or not,
right.
It's called
exactly.
respect.
Absolutely.
And so I gave him respect, and I got a hug, and I got a picture, and I got respect.
I love that.
And a lot of people were like, why did you do that? And I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't play games like that.
Right.
I believe if you're good to people and kind to people, you get back in life what you put out.
And see, let me say this. I love this about local politics. It's not partisan.
That's right.
So me running for mayor, it is a nonpartisan race. Because again, at the end of the day, we're representing the citizens of our city. And at the end of the day, guess what? If you're concerned about trash, you don't care if I'm a Democrat or Republican.
Yeah.
You just want what you need.
You want the truck to come and the trash
Thank
to recycle,
you.
Reuse, and whatever.
Absolutely.
The three words they have on there, right?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, we all talk about vision, right? You have to have a vision when you want
Absolutely.
To do something.
Absolutely.
And I've seen the new sidewalks in Rockledge.
Oh, absolutely.
I have seen how the beautiful trees when you go down Fisk,
absolutely.
Right? So talk to our listeners, Mr. Ferguson, a little bit about your vision that you have for the future for Rockledge.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, Sita, without any question, I think that our city is an amazing city. You know, it's the oldest municipality, of course, in Brevard County. We know that. And I think you've talked about, as you opened up, just the beauty of Rockledge and how unique Rockledge is in comparison to some of our other cities in Brevard County. It is a city that has been run efficiently. You know, something that I really am making sure that we protect, right, is our history, right? While we preserve our history, while we focus on building our future in the city of Rockledge. First of all, we have a team, and I love the mentality of our community, I'll say it, our council, along with our city officials, our directors, and our city manager. We do a great job working together. Now, the reality of it is we all don't always agree with everything.
And right? You're not supposed to.
And you're not going
if
to.
If that was the case, God would have had a partner.
Right.
Benjamin Franklin said it. That democracy requires the citizens to be contentious.
It depends, though. We don't want too much contention.
No. Contention is a good thing. It's not
be.
A bad thing.
It can
contention
be constructive.
Is a good thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, constructive. Yeah. Absolutely.
It can be. And so for me, it's
if
about...
If you use your voice that God gave us.
There you go. There you go. And that's important.
Not weapons.
Right.
Right.
Use our voices. And so one thing I'm really strong about is protecting what Rockledge is about. Protecting our citizens, making sure that we continue keeping our citizens safe. You know, public safety is a huge component of every city. And, of course, Rockledge, we're unique because we do have our own police department. And I've had the honor for 20 years to serve as the chaplain of that department. So it's been really important to make sure that we keep those folk, you know, that are very important to our safety, protection of daily life, that we keep those folks on our, you know, as long as we can, the longevity, of course, for our city. To make sure that, you know, our citizens at all costs, they're protected, they're safe. And at the same time, that our police and fire are taken care of.
So law enforcement.
Yes,
it's
huge.
Important.
It's huge
yes.
for us as
yes.
a local city.
Right. And how many residents are in Rockledge? What's like the square foot?
We have about 31,000 residents now.
Really?
So
grown.
It's grown.
It used to be 20-something.
I was about to say, when I was born in the 60s, it probably was 12,000. And to see now it's over 31,000 and just the number of people that have come into our city. And there's going to be future growth. We already see that happening where there's other homes and other areas that are coming on online very soon. And we've got extra, you know, acreage that has been annexed into the city of Rockledge. So it's a growing city and very healthy city.
Yeah.
We're really proud of that. And we want to keep that. That's my purpose for running for mayor, to keep this a very healthy city. And for example, I had the experience as mayor. That's why I'm running for mayor. I'm concerned about my city and the citizens. That's why I'm running for mayor. You know, I feel like I have the most experience and I'm well qualified to run it with the experience that I have. And that's not in any way being cocky. It's just the reality of the hard work that I have done over these past, especially 10 years, working on behalf of our city and our citizens to represent them well, not only here locally, but even going to Tallahassee, building those relationships in Tallahassee. Because unfortunately, session starts tomorrow.
Yes.
There have been like 1,700 bills that have been filed already, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so those things are being worked through committees and various things. But some of those bills are not always, that are being proposed, are not always the best interest of our
for
city.
For your city.
Absolutely.
Right.
So what we do, we go to Tallahassee to make sure. We want to make sure at all times that our citizens are protected and that local folks need to make local decisions.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of our legislators want to make just laws from Tallahassee that really cover the entire state, that everybody does the same thing. Well, you can't compare us to Miami Beach. You can't compare us to some other cities. You know, Rockledge is Rockledge. Allow our local elected officials to do what's in the best interest of the citizens of that city.
Right. And you
and
know
the
what?
Fact that you have a family that's in small business, that is such a big piece to all of our cities in Brevard County.
Absolutely.
That the small business owners are struggling, you know, and from a tourism standpoint, from a regulation standpoint, who knows what it is, but you having that history and just your family and growing up in it, you see the things that have changed and how you can help again.
Absolutely.
To maybe give better insight and better.
Well, he brings another perspective
education.
With his leadership. He's calm, he has good leadership style, he's able to give back. But you know what? So what would you say are your top three priorities? You will become the mayor. I can see it.
I receive
I'm not going to say when or if or how. You will.
I receive that. Well, I think I said it. I think I said, number one, preserving our past, making sure that we don't forget our history, and we look out and make sure that our citizens are protected, number one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, small business is a huge component, like you said, in terms of who we are and what keeps a community going is small business. You have to make sure. So I've been taking the initiative to go around the small businesses right now. Number one, letting them know, hey, I'm running for mayor, but what are your concerns? What is it that is really important to you? How can I serve you better? How can our city serve you better? It's been really
and keep them. You need small businesses are the economic engine of the United States.
It is.
Now, and there's a growing concern in all the cities about affordable housing.
Yeah.
And I notice there's a lot going up in Rutledge.
Yeah. There's a lot of housing that's going up in really throughout the state, but definitely in Rutledge we see that. Absolutely.
So you the city council in Rutledge have addressed that issue.
Yes, it's an ongoing discussion.
Truly
ongoing, but that's important that it is addressed and that we, you know, keep that on our radar. And even from the state's standpoint, legislatively, you know, making sure that we're following those things. Again, making sure that our voice is also being heard by our legislators is really important
versus
local officials.
And you know, I know we've talked about this a lot on the show about diversity, right? What is your plan to be inclusive? Because there's so much diversity in our communities now. And everybody wants to be loved and appreciated and valued, and they want to belong.
Yeah.
They want to belong to that city.
Absolutely. And I think that is so important. And I think that a lot of our department, especially our public safety, has been really proactive with that, meaning when I was a kid, I didn't see any officers that ever looked like me, right? Never. But to see that now, and to see the number of women and see the number of minorities that are part of our public safety, to me, has been huge, and it's grown. And our chiefs have been really, really doing their best, really over the past, since I've been on council, I've noticed that, recognized. And, of course, it's been addressed. It's been talked about. But I think what I would like to do, now let me say this, Rutledge, again, is the oldest city in Brevard County, but Rutledge has never had an African-American. It's never had a female mayor. And so in no way I'm running as the first black, but the reality
is, you could leave a good legacy behind.
The goal is to leave a very positive legacy behind.
It's like Dick Blake.
Absolutely.
You say the name and we all think about
everybody
him, right?
Everybody knows who he is.
So, you know, one of the things I've always said, if I ever were a mayor of a city, like, I'm not going to be Zoran Mamdani, but he's my guy. You know what I like about being a mayor, you could do something like, if there's a space that's available and you could have like a parking lot. Remember the old drive-in theaters?
Yes.
I've always thought that is the most wonderful thing for families.
Oh, wow.
I still remember my dad with all of us in the car going up to a theater with our food and watching that big screen and all the families there for 3 or 4 hours, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like family things, we don't have family events like that anymore. Because everybody wants to be private. Everybody has their picket fence, they've got their gated communities. How do we become more inclusive with our neighborhoods, with our communities in that way?
What you're saying is really important. And let me say this, the Rutledge has been doing a lot of things over the years for our families. Example. We have movie nights, believe it or not, right there in front of Levitt Park periodically. We'll have movies that we get a big screen and we throw a movie up on the front right there in the park, right there in front of Levitt Park where I was born and raised. I was born and raised right
there. That's wonderful. You hear that, Ellen? Ellen could probably play music for you there.
I would love that. That would be tremendous.
A music festival.
Since I've been on council as well, we have built, I'm not sure if you recognize, you go down Barton, we now have a civic hub. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right there in the city of Rutledge, where there's a little mini amphitheater that's out, that persons can come and utilize that space to do community events.
They can rent the space.
And they have been.
Okay.
You know, Councilman Michael Cador does a Lift Every Voice opportunity every February, where the community comes and the schools come, the children come, they sing songs. It's about Black history. So that's an event that happens. We do National Night Out in the city of Rutledge. It's held right there, the corner of Barton and Fisk, that local church. And right there, that church, the community comes, and they have jumpers for the kids. They have the helicopter this past year came from Brevard County to show the kids what a helicopter looks like.
Yeah, you keep them engaged.
So I really say I'm really excited about the city of Rutledge because all of the things that we actually do offer at the Civic Hub, which is a new opportunity for the city. It's been up for, 3 years or so now.
Nice.
And it's been a great meeting place, you know, for the citizens to do various things. And people are taking advantage of it. It's exciting to see. Also, we just opened a brand new gymnasium in the city of Rockledge, Frank Forrester Recreational Center. It's right there in the city of Rockledge, right on Cogswell. A nice space just opened, was it last year? And so that is being utilized. When I say utilized, we have been overwhelmed at the
with
amount.
The response.
Yes,
yeah,
it
yeah.
has been very positive because Rockledge never had a gymnasium. Now
wow.
we do.
That's amazing.
And so they're another
you got a great high school.
Great. That's where I graduated from.
The Rockledge.
All right, Rockledge class
well, you know,
of 1984.
I've always wondered as I get older, bolder, and wiser, and I know I speak for a lot of people when I say this, I always wonder why we have so many contracts in prisons. Contract for janitors, contract for bedding, contract for food, contract for psychiatrists, psychologists, dentists. But when the people who are housed in there were little, a country, a government didn't spend the money in their schools, in their communities to build, to develop, to invest in people before they get to that point. So, you know, like when I speak to somebody like yourself who's running for mayor of Rockledge, I think about development, growth and development. What developments you see in the future? Because you've got the gymnasium, you've got the event center, you've got the police department that's new.
Absolutely.
And the townhouse. There has to be more things that you're saying to yourself, I would like to see developed.
Dairy Queen.
Dairy Queen. Okay, we'll put that on the list.
I'll add that to our list. Thank you so much. Well, I think you said it, that Rockledge is a great place to live, play, and work for me as well. And there's lots of families. There's a lot of new communities you just talked about.
Yeah.
Lots of growth that we're seeing. And I think that you hit the nail on the head, having those places where families can be built, spend time together. Restaurants are always a really big thing, you know, for any family in the city of Rockledge, and even places to play,
yes.
I think, are really important. So I think those are some things that we want to put on our radar to just make more meeting spaces that are good for community, to build family, to build, again, you know, I'm a pastor, so it's, you know, really important that the community is strengthened, you know, in using opportunities to strengthen communities, you know.
Right.
So I think that, again, Rockledge has come a long ways, absolutely.
Right.
But there's more that can be done and more that I'm even open to as a mayor to hear.
Yeah.
Because, again, my responsibility is to not do what I think is best. No, listen to our citizens. So for me, it is the opportunity that I'm taking to go around to various, you know, businesses and persons to say, what can the city of Rockledge
do? You know, barbershops are the best place to hear issues.
Right.
I'm telling you, be a fly on the wall. You'll know everybody's business in there. But, you know, one thing I always say, too, you know, as I notice and I speak to people, our teachers, they spend a lot of time trying to educate children, and a lot of them have become social workers, too. And it breaks my heart when a teacher sets up a classroom for teacher work day or parent-teacher day and four people shows up. And it's the same thing with voting. People want health insurance. They want good sidewalks. They want a community school. Mm-hmm. They want a thriving police department. They want all these things. But when it's time to vote, a lot of them find the most excuses not to cast that vote. How can you tell folks how important it is to cast that vote? Because you'll be on the ballot in November.
Right. I'll be there in November.
So we need people, especially in local elections. Everything starts local. Don't worry about what President Trump and Venezuela and Maduro and people sleeping in the bed is doing. Right. Worry about what's going on right here in Rockledge, mm-hmm. Florida, Cocoa, Florida, Melbourne. Mm-hmm. How do you tell them to go out and vote?
Well, if I can say it just like this, make it really simple. I think you said it. You alluded to it. Your local politicians or your local elected officials are as just important or more important than our national. Okay. We don't think that way, but we impact your right away. I mean, you have the access to people where we don't have necessarily can knock on the door of our president, right? But you can sure knock on the door of your local election official.
I could probably knock on the door.
Right. Yeah. You can see, yeah. But the average person won't be bold like you.
I'll be like, hey, I made some curry chicken and I'm here to give you some. Yeah. But, you know, like, and then people talk about the underserved populations in communities and cities. Right. But oftentimes what those underserved people need is a mom and dad or a pastor. Somebody to hold their hand, yes, from little and say, right, this is the way, this, yes, is the light.
Yes, yes. And I've had that opportunity over these past 25 years. And even as youth pastor, I actually served as youth pastor before pastoring CETA. And just the joy of being able to give back in our community and doing just that. You know, you said from the womb to the tomb. Well, the pastor is involved.
That could be written all over the United States, actually.
The pastor is involved in the life of majority of my members that have been in the church. I've been involved from the womb, unfortunately, to the tomb.
Yeah.
But to be able to help people navigate the ups and downs of life, because life can be challenging. Life can be difficult. Life can be exciting, too. But I'm there, and I have been there, and it's been a joy and an honor to serve my community and our congregation from, you know, various facets of life and experiences of life. So now to be running for the mayor of the city of Rockledge, for me, is just the next step. And because, again, my experience and my love for the city. It's not my love for, you know, wanting to be mayor. No, it's just my love for the city.
Well, you shine when you say the word Rockledge.
Yes.
So for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Dr. Sean Ferguson, and he is going to be the candidate for the mayor of the great city of Rockledge, Florida. So before you go, really quick, a yes-no question. Do you believe that that politicians locally should support the local arts and the culture scene?
Oh, without any questions.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes. I agree with that. So we'll give you, you don't have a website yet, do you?
Yes.
Oh, you do? So give us your website.
It's www.voteforshawn.com.
Right. And let's say you met Danny here in, yes, the elevator, or Allie or Ellen, and you want to give him a 30-second elevator speech. Like why they should vote for you to become the mayor of Rockledge, Florida. Give them your 30-second speech. I'll give that time to you.
Again, Sita, I can't thank you enough, you and Ellen and Allie and of course, Danny. Simple. Danny, I am born and raised right here in Rockledge,
Listen
Florida.
Up, Danny.
I'm not only born and raised, my heart, I love my community, I love my city. This is just another way for me to continue serving the citizens of our city to make sure it remains the amazing and beautiful city that it is. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, amen. Ellen, I tell you, I love this guy. I remember years ago when we met, and I always thought, yeah, if someone wants to do good for their community, what we have to do is get behind that person. Mm-hmm. The world has enough evil without us doing anything. But the good people who step forward to run for office, it is a calling. It is a gift. Mm-hmm. And it's a gift from our creator. You know, Sean, I was talking to somebody recently and they were talking about religion and this and that. And I said, listen, you see this heart right here? And when it's beaten, there's your God living in there.
Amen.
You can fool the people, but you can't fool the man who's making this thing go tick, tick, tick. Whether you have hypertension or diabetes or heart ailments, it's still ticking in there. So I think God sees everything we say and do. And you get back in life what you put out. And you have you've put out so much goodness in Rockledge and for the people. And just the mere fact that you have to go to Tallahassee, that's a long drive back and forth.
Yeah.
But you do it so that you can get your voice heard, so that whatever legislation is passed for the state of Florida,
right,
if it interferes with something going on in Rockledge, absolutely, you want to be the one to say, absolutely, stop. Put that stop sign up.
Absolutely. And then educate our legislators. Because 9 times out of 10, most of our local legislators in Tallahassee, they've never served locally. So they have no idea of the plight of the local cities. That's what we come in.
Or they have somebody behind a keyboard who's working for them, researching everything and giving them a,
right,
speech.
Right.
But you're not like that. I've, nope, seen you all the time with the people. And I think being in a church and being the pastor of a church too, you have the gift of speaking. Right. So you could go to Tallahassee. You could probably talk to anybody too.
And we do. Absolutely.
You'll probably get Rick Scott.
That's right. By the way, he does need an appointment.
Okay. I'm going to say I know Cedar. That's what I'm going to say.
I was just going to say, bring some curry chicken with you. You'll be in good shape. All right, we are going to take a quick break and listen to our sponsors, and we'll be right back after these messages with Viewpoint with Cedar and Friends. Stay tuned in.
Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9. Mattress and Furniture. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Cedar Begee on Viewpoint with Cedar and Friends. We're on to our second segment of our show today. We're heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere.
That's right. On 1510wwbc.com, you can hit that listen live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, there you can also download all of our shows for all of our guests. And then we share them on all of our websites, cedamediainc.com, and all of our social media.
Yeah. What a great first segment.
Yes.
You know, all about giving back to the community.
I love the people that we get connected with that are literally changing the world. Now, granted, it might just be our world, but it's really important.
Well, and that's how I met my good friend, Karen Wade. And I'm telling you, we go way back. I was always in awe of, she was always very calm and very positive. And now I know why, because she is an intuitive energy coach. She always had good positive energy, and she's a healer. She actually straddles two worlds. On one side, she's an engineer by profession and loves science. And boy, this woman is brilliant. And then on the other side, she's doing all this stuff with the coaching. And I know she's on the phone. I'm not going to take up much of the time because I really want to hear about her spirituality, her science side of her brain, biology, and how she's creating space and bringing awareness to so many people to heal and grow and just ascend to their potential. So, Karen, thank you for taking the time to call in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's great connecting with you here. And what a great introduction. I should have recorded that.
Yeah, I know. It's recorded.
Yeah,
don't worry.
It is.
Yeah. You'll have it in about 24 hours.
I can play that on all my videos. It'll be my intro for my videos.
Yes. You know what? When I booked you for the show, I thought about like how many of us, when we started out in activism and you, I am fiscally responsible and socially very compassionate and empathetic to so many causes and people. But we've aged, right? And spirituality is like what, like all of us are getting into this part of life where we're connecting. And science is part of life. Whether people like it to hear that or not, it is. Every breath we take, you know, every star we look at, every grass that's growing, the microorganisms, the biology, the science behind it, it's there. So talk to us a little bit about yourself, how you bridge that gap being an engineer and now you're an intuitive coach. So talk to us.
Yes. Well, thank you. Definitely. You know, I've always been an engineer, but helping people and mentoring people and providing people with guidance is always something that's come naturally to me. And I've always been intuitive, so that's always come naturally to me. And then I had a situation where I was really going through a rough time. And even though I was always connected with what I call my guides and my helpers, I wasn't really completely engaging. And it's through that rough time that I really started engaging with who am I, what do I want to accomplish in my life, and what is spirituality to me, and what is this connection to me? Where I really made the connection with it was actually through science. Initially, my interest in going into energy healing was more so I could better understand energy. I really didn't think I was going to be doing energy healing, but it was more through understanding energy. And then that path took me into energy healing. And what's wonderful is that quantum physics is bridging the gap between what we've all known spiritually and what science used to stop now. And now quantum physics is bridging that gap. It's bridging the gap with understanding that it has explained from a scientific way that we are energy. We're made of atoms. That are neutrons, protons, and electrons. Electrons are a base form of energy, and neutrons and protons are made of quarks, which are quantum, just spark bits of quantum energy. So really, if you look at that definition, we're quantum beings.
Yeah, you know what? It's so interesting because we, with our heart beating, we are energy. Yeah. I mean, when someone goes into the emergency room, they either hook you up to an IV of sugar or salt. Right. And it's just either the IV is normal saline or dextrose. Right. And then you start saying that we are building blocks. We are blocks of atoms and neutrons and protons. And the way you say it and the way your website is, it makes a person fall in love with this quantum physics, what you talk about. I mean, it's amazing that you actually, your website is very easy to navigate too. And one of the things I notice is when we have traumatic life experiences, that if you understand science, you will be able to process what happened to you to an extent, correct?
Yes, to an extent. So what happens is, so everything, we're energy and everything is energy, and everything leaves an energetic imprint. So when you have a traumatic experience, and could even be a negative experience, but as a child, for example, you don't have the capacity to process it. And just like everything else, when your body and your mind does not have the capacity to process an experience, it kind of takes the energetic imprint of that experience, and it just stores it somewhere in your body. This, you know, and so what happens is that if you picture a smooth flowing river, it's just smooth flowing water downstream very calmly. Then you start throwing boulders into that river, right?
Yeah.
The water hits the boulders and creates chaos, and eventually you have white water. Well, that's what happens with us. What happens is we're born and we have this smooth, our energy is a flow, smooth flow. But as we have traumatic experiences or negative experiences that we don't know how to process, especially as children, that energy of that experience gets stored in our body somewhere, in our energetic field in our body. And then our smooth flowing river turns into a little bit of white water because that energy, it hits kind of that knot, a little boulder every once in a while. And then that's what we call triggers. So that's what we call triggers. Like, you know, somebody got triggered, I got triggered. It's because your energetic field actually hit one of those knots, knots that are kind of in your body.
Yeah. So what you're describing to our audience here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is actually energy healing.
Yes, exactly. That's what energy healing is. So energy healing is taking that, is going back and taking that knot, acknowledging it, processing it. You don't have to relive it. You don't have to. That's not what it is. But it's acknowledging it, and it's the different energy modalities that you can transmute that knot into your energy. So then it's almost like if you have a chunk of, in the way I explained that part, if you have a chunk of ice in the middle of a river and it's just sitting there kind of disrupting the flow, right, like an iceberg, and then you melt that, and that ice melts into that river, and now it's one, and the river's back to flowing smoothly. That's what energy healing is. So it's basically the transmuting of that knot by going back to it, acknowledging it, accepting it, loving yourself through it, understanding, and a lot of times it's reframing, because a lot of times the story we tell ourselves of a certain situation keeps us in that pattern, and it keeps feeding that pattern. So then as you start to reframe, you can also start to slow down the feeding into that pattern, and then the ice can melt.
That's why we need to speak with an energy coach like yourself, who can help us to focus on mindset, strategy, and action. So talk to us a little bit about what an energy coach does.
Yes. So an energy coach, and I'm also a life coach. I do have life coach certificate, energy coach certificate. So, and I'll start with explaining life coach. So life coaches is more about, people come to life coaching because they have something, a goal they're trying to attain, and they're having a hard time. So life coaching is really more forward moving, forward looking. So it's your mindset, it's strategy, and setting an action and accountability and support to help you get there. Energy coaching combined with life coaching is great, because energy coaching is like, okay, what is it that's holding you back in the first place? What is the trauma that has now created this doubt and fear that's paralyzing you from moving forward? So somebody may have, grown up or been raised in a situation where they were always criticized, and they had that energy within them of insecurity, and being afraid of being criticized or being afraid of being wrong. And then in the present, that's showing itself as them being paralyzed or anxiety about moving forward or making decisions. So then we can do energy coaching to help you be aware of, like, where is this energy coming from? What is it that is holding you back? And then once you start to become aware of that, and as I said before, kind of melt that ice cube from the river, then you can look forward and say, okay, now that I've removed this obstacle, how do I move forward? So energy coaching and life coaching together is really going back and looking into the real cost at the energetic level, and then moving forward and creating a plan to help you reach your goal. And an important thing to notice, everything happens energetically first, and then it shows itself physically. So as you're able to properly address the circumstances that come across your life, then you will see in your physical world a much more harmonious, much more harmony.
Yeah.
In your life.
As you speak, I'm thinking, I'm getting such good, positive vibes from what you're saying, that I feel like you should be invited to everybody's house for the Thanksgiving dinner or the Christmas dinner. Even Danny's shaking his head, because there's so many families that have so much trauma, and that people in their own families have stored in their bodies, in their souls, and they have not let it out. And you need someone to say, you know what, let's talk about this. Let's get the ice cube melted so that everybody could flow, you know, just calmly again.
Yeah.
You know, so I would think there's many ways that you could help people. So tell us some of the different ways besides being invited
to
Thanksgiving.
Well, I want to add one thing, too, is that it's not just about always about trauma from other people. Sometimes it's, you know, an injury that you've had or an accident that you've had. So all of those types of traumas as well are just as much part of an energy healing process so that your body can move on.
Right.
Like you may not even physically be emotionally tied to it. But you see, you know, somebody will say, oh, I was in a car accident 2 months ago. You already know, like, I already know that person is fragile at that point still, because two months is not enough time to heal from something like that.
Yes, but you know, like, what we're seeing, like, as you see, like, what I see a lot of is a lot of siblings not getting along. A lot of,
all of
a sudden, this new thing in the United States you're seeing on TikTok. I'm not going to be speaking to my mother and father anymore because of trauma. Well, give the people a break. Sometimes they did the best they could at that time, you know? So I'm just saying, like, you know, you need a coach, somebody like yourself, you know, to talk to people. So what are some of the different ways that you can help people besides getting invited to their Thanksgiving dinner and starting conversation?
Thanksgiving is my favorite food. I'm not good for getting invited everywhere for Thanksgiving. But and I want to touch on kind of the other point about injury, because these go together. And as an energy healing, they go together. There are really, we're talking about two forms of energy healing, and they're both just as powerful. So the energy coaching is to help you, to work with you. And my energy coaching programs are 12-week programs, because it is a very in-depth way of looking at what is holding you back, where's that energy pattern come from, and how do we free it. And then we move forward with creating the life coaching part, which is get you to move forward on that path. The injury is very interesting, because the energy healing with that's where you hear the terms more with Reiki, which I also do. I'm a Reiki master. Reiki and Qigong. So the way that energy healing with Reiki helps is if somebody's injured, Reiki brings in that energy to help boost up their energy and help their, what I call is kind of, it wakes up their placebo effects. It helps boost their energy. So if you have a battery that's low because it's dealing with the trauma of the injury, then a Reiki session is a fantastic way to give yourself that boost to help your body heal itself. So those are the two, you know, and those are multiple aspects of energy healing, and it's depending on what you need. If you're in a situation where you have an injury, then I would recommend let's do Reiki sessions and let's do Qigong sessions, and that we bring energy to you to help recharge your body and to help your body, what we call the placebo effect, because your body is incredible at healing itself. And the best combination of healing is a combination of Eastern medicine, which is energy healing, and Western medicine. There is definitely a place for that, absolutely. And the combination of two is wonderful. So those are a couple of different ways that energy healing can come into your life and really help you move forward. And it's depending of what is that you're dealing with and what is that you're looking for.
Yeah, because a lot of people have like hidden blocks, emotional, mental, energetic, and it drains you at home, at work, and at play. And you know, as you speak, I'm just thinking of how many nurses I know or medical professionals I know who are stressed out, overwhelmed, burnt out, and how wonderful it would be to have a coach such as yourself in people's workplaces, and they should like do an in-service once a month with something like what you're talking about to help people to heal.
Yes.
And I mean, it would really, it would be a gift to the workers of the United States to have companies hire someone such as yourself to help their staff, you know, because a lot of people, you see them on a daily basis and you don't know what grief or loss or issues they have going on in their life. And someone who comes along with a positive attitude and give them a way to just think would be great.
Yes. No, yes, absolutely. And also, it's a medication part of it that's also really important. is a lot of times we don't realize how much of other people's energy or circumstances outside of us we internalize. So if you struggle with kind of protecting yourself from internalizing other people's energy, then you're going to feel overwhelmed because you're taking on other people's energy along with yours, or you're going to feel exhausted because you are giving people your energy instead of helping them access their own. So there's a lot of education aspect, also understanding how you're using energy, how you're taking in other people's energy, and how you should free yourself of it, and how you're using your energy and giving your energy to other people, where you end up exhausted at the end of the day because you're trying to help other people who are, for example, low energy or don't understand how to tap into their energy and their power. So there's so many aspects to this, from coaching to Reiki, which is channeling energy to help you recharge yourself and help clear, and also helps clear blocks and things like that, to just education of understanding how you're using energy, how it's affecting you, how the people's energy affects you, and how you can affect other people's
For our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with my friend Karen Wade, who is an intuitive energy coach and a healer. She's also an engineer, and she does a lot of wonderful things to help us with energy. So, Karen, would you say that your goal is to reconnect people to find joy, have purpose, and a better vision for their lives?
Absolutely. That is absolutely the goal and the outcome that I want for everybody that I meet. And we start with where are you now? What is your energy? How do you understand your energy and what's holding you back, and how do we move forward? So absolutely. And finding and really living in harmony. When you get your energy field and your energy to flow and vibrate at a frequency of harmony and peace, the world changes. The right. world around you changes.
But it doesn't start until you decide that you've got to have self-love and inner peace in order to find that spiritual alignment within yourself. And I think oftentimes we wait till we're in our 40s, 50s, 60s to find this. It would be wonderful if your program, the modalities that you teach, you could teach it to people from the age of 4 and 5 and 6. Because just imagine how much... You know what I mean? Because, like, look, I'm 60 years old and I'm learning this now. But had I learned this 40 years ago or 20 years ago, I probably would have had a much calmer life, because I do take on a lot of people's problems. And I think that comes with being the eldest daughter for my mother and father for the second set of children they had. And that's a whole different topic about the elder sister having all this responsibility and draining the energy in that soul, you know?
Yes, absolutely. And I agree with you. I mean, this could change, you know, generations if we're able to start talking. And that's one thing. There is the fact that we're having this conversation now, and the fact that I bet most of your listeners are shaking their head yes to this, or feel that they're somehow connecting to it in one way or another, shows how we're all as a society changing. Because you and I would not have been able to have this conversation back in the 90s when I started some of this practice and been so accepted.
Yeah.
So it is changing. And that's helping us. And as we have these conversations, as we have normalized this, people have normalized meditating. People have normalized energy healing a little bit. You know, people are starting to, at least they're familiar with the term and things like that. Then the younger generations, it becomes secondhand to them. It's kind of like we got used to smartphones. The younger generation, they don't even know what life is without one.
That's right. You see what I'm saying?
So it's kind of the same thing. As we're all comfortable with it, as we're all talking about it, younger generations, it becomes part of their everyday life. Mindfulness is a word that the young generation is ingrained within them because they've heard it so many times now, where for us, it was a new word. It was a new term that came out, to be
mindful.
Well,
I've always said that, you know, we need a kinder, gentler, more mindful world. Not just here in the U.S., but everywhere, you know. But give us your website in case someone wants to book a segment with you and do some coaching and healing.
Yes, it's healingwithkarenwade, healingwithkarenwade.com. And the initial session to meet with me is free, the discovery session, and it's free so we can talk and see if we feel connected, if you feel a connection, and we can work together. And there are also other services I offer when it comes to energy healing and energy clearing and, you know, Reiki sessions.
We are out of time, but I will make sure that all of our listeners get your website and a link to all of the great things that you're doing, Karen. Thank you so much for your insight.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
And educating all of our listeners. Thanks again, everyone listening to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We're on Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m., right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida, every Monday. Please tune in, 1510 WWBC.